final shout out is join us, build with us, or build with any other communities.
You asked, we brought, and we know that we all love discussing different standards around NFT on the show. If you are interested in learning about multi-redeemable NFTs, continue listening. Welcome to Peep and Eep episode 108. I'm your host, Pooja Ranjan. Today we will talk about a proposal to extend ERC 721, which will enable an NFT to be redeemed in multiple scenarios. ERC 6672, multi-redeemable NFT, was proposed in February this year and has been moved to the final status just this morning. It's the perfect day to have this conversation with the authors and learn about the proposal. To provide an overview of this ERC, we are joined by Boyu Xu. Welcome to the show, Boyu. May we begin with a brief introduction before we get into the proposal?
Hi, so everyone, I'm Boyu, and I'm the co-founder and COO of Redreamer. And ERC 6672 is what is an abstraction and a condense of our past works on a lot of different projects. And today we are also having some of our team members with us. Jason, he's the CEO and also a co-founder of Redreamer. And we are really focusing on building something that we believe will change the world. And ERC 6672 is just a start. So it's a multi-redeemable NFT, which allows us to redeem NFT in multiple different scenarios. So I will start with our team. This is a team that has contributed to the standards. And the reasons we are like including not just the developers is because we do gather a lot of experiences and know-hows from past project executions. And these executions actually, although it seems really simple, the simple designs is actually what we have gathered from a lot of past experiences. And now we believe that it is ready for its first steps of becoming a standard. Of course, in the future, we may have better or more complete standards, but we believe that this is the first step. And we do have a motivation of the reasons that we are building this. The reason we are building this is we see NFTs as the future of commerce. It forms the fundamentals of how blockchain interacts with the real world. And we often like to quote William Quigley, which really inspires us on doing this project, is after tokenizing US dollars, it is time for tokenization of real world assets. And this is what we like get started with the whole project. This is what we incline to do by changing the world. And because this has a lot of benefits, which we have like already like proven in our past executions, a lot of our slides are actually snatched from our like company sites. And this is because this EIP or this like standard is what we have like practiced in the field, tested by the market. And then now we believe that this is the time to form it into a robust fundamental so that we can proceed on the further steps. So we do see that there are a lot of like great opportunities when combining NFTs with commerce. There are like potentials to new e-commerce opportunities, meaning that a manufacturer can sell or a designer can sell his things on all platforms supported by the same chain immediately and creating hybrid experiences. Also, the removal of physical constraints actually increase the liquidity and the composability of everything. So it also unlocks like additional revenue streams through royalties and create new business model. So this is actually something that is very exciting, but actually currently it is poorly supported. So we are building a lot of infrastructure on that. And of course, today we will be focusing on three, which we observe that lacking of an NFT standards actually prohibits the general adoptions of NFT in commerce because the information is actually not shared and everybody is building up on their own standard. So today, why we propose these multi-redeemable NFT standards is we want to make the information be shared through NFTs, especially on the commerce parts. So now we will go into the details, more details or the descriptions of the proposal, but I'll make it more on the guidelines of the designs and how our thought process is. So let's take a quick glance on ERC 672. It mainly consists of three parts. One is a read functions, which allows us to connect with other smart contracts, which usually stands for the interactions of contract with NFTs, what can be used post redemptions and other, like, for example, future mints or future engagements or other connectors that is connected with this NFT. Also, we have write functions that is controlled by the operators, which usually stands in the place of platforms, systems, or redeem providers, so that they can like write these like values and to fulfill the redeem. And these informations are shared by written them into NFTs. We also define a metadata standard so that the app users can easily integrate and they don't have to like all every time go back to call these readable functions to check all the statuses. They can easily get it from a metadata extensions, so the implementations can be really fast. So this is just a rough outline of what ERC-6072 is structured. But a lot of questions are asking, why do we need the standards? To answer this question, I will start from what not 6072 is doing, because Redeem has a lot of aspects. And a lot of people are thinking that we are solving all the Redeem problems through 6072, which is not. We also have a Redeem protocol that solves all the parts. And we also see a lot of great other EIPs, which also solves, for example, the listings of privilege and other parts. So what ERC-6072 is not solving is we are not handling the redeem process. We are already having a protocol, or we have seen a lot of great systems that can handle this easily. And also there are a lot of like guarantees, for example, the offline connections and the offline guarantees, these are not directly guaranteed by ERC-6072. So ERC-6072 provides a great interfaces so that these guarantees or these connections can be done easily and synced on chain. Secondly, a lot of people would say that what is the main difference between 6072 and some kind of like predefined redeemable NFTs, which ERC-6072 is also not defining. It is not defining the redemption rules, the application logic, or the business logic. We leave them up to the implementers of the 6072, which of course they can integrate with other standards if they are using with 6072. Also, a lot of people asking, how do I know what are the available redemptions? This is also not solved by ERC-6072, because what we are handling here is the status parts rather than what privilege does this certain NFT have. The reasons that we are doing this, because we imagine this to be a very open world and open space. So everyone can actually attach a lot of different perks, even without the permissions of the contract owner, to certain kinds of NFTs. So all in all, NFT is ERC-6072. We are not solving the above redemption problem. It is solved by either by our redeem protocol, by other standards, or other like methods of approach. But what ERC-6072 is solving, it defines an interface for the inscriptions of the status, which is the execution results of a triggered redeem responses. So the reasons that we are putting ERC-6072 in this stance is we see how people did redeem in the past. So there are several ways of doing redeem. The first and the main first major part is people usually code directly into the NFT contract of implementing a redeem functions and triggers, like, for example, transfer or burn or direct executions on the NFTs. Also, there are other ways of doing it. For example, if you have, like, for example, Ape, and you are redeemed for Ape coins, you would see it being handled by an external contract. And for some physical like operations, it also happens in this manner. There are also centralized approach, which is like, for example, like a lot of token gated solutions. These are like centralized systems reading Web3 data and provide like Web2 authentications. And of course, there's also the really naive way, the screenshots of pen and paper, which is still very popular. But all of these methods, they have their own like limitations. For example, when coding into NFTs, it is actually not scalable integrations. Each NFT has its own different like play rules or different. So it is actually not really generalized. So when integrating with these NFTs, each applications or platforms, they may have to integrate all these informations one by one. Other parts, when you are using external contract, it would be really hard to track. For example, who you know certain NFT, they may have certain perks, for example, claiming some tokens, but where is the claiming contract at? you wouldn't even know it. Information is actually really fragmented and siloed. It's not easy to track. And this also happens for the centralized systems with an extra catch that it might be banned someday and all the information could be lost. We can take Twitter API. When it is banned, a lot of applications are then stopped. And also there's still screenshots, pen and paper, which we don't want to continuously use. So we do see that there are both limitations on all the different approaches. I'm not saying that these approaches are not good. Each approach comes with pros and cons. And how do we gather all the best parts together so that we can build in a fast manner and at the same time and avoid all the disadvantages of each different methods? So the thing we need to do now is to have a rethink on the NFT properties. So the thing we see here is there are actually properties of NFTs that are intrinsic and extrinsic. So intrinsic NFTs, what I define here is something that binds with the NFT. For example, the metadata that constantly holds onto the NFT or everything that defines the NFT to be itself, the hash, token IDs. And also there's extrinsic values, which, for example, market prices, it varies with the user, like when the users operate with the NFTs when the NFTs is put into other usage, like it becomes an avatar on your Twitter account. It's an intrinsic value. It's this NFT is the avatar of some famous people. This is the intrinsic value. When it is traded, this property gets changed or it's gone. And also there are some like platform red flags that also are the extrinsic entity that is externally labeled on these NFT. So NFTs have a value that is more immutable, and there's like properties that are mutable. But when we look at commerce, things get a little complicated, because what are the commerce properties of the token actually located? For example, does the perks and the utilities constantly goes with the NFT, or is it more fluid and attachable? In our past execution, we do see that there's a demand on attachable perks or attachable like utilities. But at the same time, when these NFTs are traded, these person you should need to all still come with the NFT. This also goes with the status, the validated, the shipping status, and all these parts. And also we have seen a high growing demand of dynamic metadata, meaning that the NFTs change when doing redeems. So this part is kind of tricky. It actually needs to be governed, validated, but it still needs a flexibility of having diverse possibility. And for my personal belief, I think it should have a certain level of openness. So in the end, we believe that the only or our currently best solution to it is make it an interface. And that is exactly the reasons why we are designing ERC-6672. With all these parts, we believe that should be governed, should be validated, but at the same time should be openly discussed. We want it to become a co-creation framework, meaning that people can design on it and other people can build on the things that other people build on it. And we believe that the best way to do this is to define an interface framework that people can build on top of it. And of course, there are some parts that are already handled by other standards or systems. And for ERC-6072, we're focusing on the commerce status for these parts. And the belief here is we believe that the redemptions are actually carried out by the operators, which are responsible for the integrity and also the connectivity of the ERC-6072. So in short, what we are proposing here is a combination of existing methods. We now don't write the business logic and codes directly in the NFT contract, making the NFT simple, creating only intrinsic value properties, but we leave these operators, they may be centralized operators or decentralized operators, they put their results back into the NFT contract so that it is shared across multiple platforms. And at the same time, a different business logic can be implemented in different parts of the operators. And of course, I'm not discussing about the screenshots anymore. Yeah, so this is what we are actually building. This is also a snip from our company slides. We are building the middleware infrastructures for the commerce parts. And the reasons we need an ERC-71 is to easily connect with Web3, and now we are having ERC 6072, so we can connect more commerce status back into the worlds of Web3. So now it becomes like sort of clear when we look back into the specification is what are the redeem functions mainly used. It's mainly connect back to Web3 connections. You can do a lot of post-redemption interactions and interfaces with other contracts. For example, if this thing has been redeemed, some changes might happen to the NFT or other privileges, and it creates a very fluent way of creating future composable re-engagements and a faster Web3 integrations. And the most important part would be how do you build up the operators since it handles the redeem process. Eventually, the operators need to connect with the business logic and the providers to fulfill the complete experience. So I will give out some examples of how these operators can be combined and built to fulfill some like interesting use cases. And finally, the DApps, they can directly read from the metadata extensions so that they can create a very smooth and very easily displayed user interfaces in a very short time. And also, since they are DApps or they are platforms, they can apply any filters they want to enhance the user experience. Meaning that if I'm building an app for only ticketing, I can filter all the like a redemption requests or the redemption results not related to what I'm building. So these are the benefits directly derived from what we have of using ERC 6072 is we have a predefined framework on how do we log the redemption results. So we don't have to design it over and over again when we are launching new NFTs and making mistakes. And since all people are using the same framework, it makes it very easy and self-driven on the integrations if you need to connect with a redeemable NFT. And that's the best part of the standards is like people doing the same way and reducing the cost of each other. And of course, the metadata extensions enables the apps to better display their informations and create a lot of like great different usage. And the things that we are designing ERC 6072 a lot different from other NFTs is we embrace the progressive decentralization. We don't need every operators to be centralized in the first day. Some can be central because a lot of like supply chain or real world are actually managed by centralized systems. We enable them to connect in the first day and gradually become decentralized when they enjoy the benefits of decentralization. So these are the benefits we are seeing from a high-level description of ERC 6072. And now I'm going to describe some of the usage examples and guidelines. And so this is what we have already done before, all the potential scenarios. And you can see that there's actually a lot. And you can see these demos from our YouTube. These have been already been tested and built. But all these scenarios are really are really terrifying because you would say that, oh, I don't know how to design. There shouldn't be a guideline that like connects all the different scenarios, which is true. Because when you are designing new NFTs, there are a lot of things that you need to think about. And when you are designing digital NFTs, we have summarized some of the guidelines from our past experience. The first part is what to put into ERC 6072, because a lot of people has asked about this. It's so general in ERC 6072. We can put this, we cannot put this, how it is determined. I don't have a clear answer for that, but I have a guideline is to try distinguishing the intrinsic and extrinsic properties of your NFT. It may differ for different business logic, even if you are having the similar properties. And these are the three main directions that I would suggest people think about is first, the user experience. For example, in what scenarios would the user care about the things that you logged into ERC 6072? For example, if you intend to log the shipping status into ERC 6072, does your user care about it? Do they look up on it when they are trading in like decentralized NFT marketplaces? For example, if an NFT has been redeemed or not, would be a very vital information. So this differs from your NFT design. And does this enhance the probability of people building more and more interesting applications on your NFT? also privacy is an issue. You need to think about something when you put it into ERC-72 because it becomes open. You can encrypt it, allowing the users to decrypt it when they need it, thus providing a way of building decent, like a more like user-facing or privacy-oriented applications without revealing their information to a centralized holder. Also, there are like engineering considerations, the frequency, latency, the throughputs. Is the chain like efficient enough, or is your design efficient enough so that it is cost efficient on the business that you are actually doing? And you need to like really know how your users interact or varies your attributes. And this is some parts which I can only provide a guideline. I cannot design it for you, but these are very important when you are working with ERC-6672. And the second part is, how do you build up the operators? So in generally for things past the operators, there are mainly three components. One is the redemption handler or the redemption operators. Secondly is the business logic. And the final is the display. And the best recommendations I can have is to separate these parts and use existing solutions for the part that has been built and rebuilt. For example, for the validations and authorizations and linking to existing providers, there are actually several existing solutions, including ours. So of course, we would recommend using or leveraging existing solutions so that you don't have to rebuild the wheels and focus on the business logic. And we would recommend separating the business logic from the actual authentications of the parts. And of course, you can still use centralized systems if you are well separated. And eventually, from the displays and UIs, we would like recommend directly read from metadata extensions, but keep an eye on the synchronizations of the mismatch of the information between what is written into 672 and the sync of metadata, especially when the metadata is centralized. The last part you can decide on, which is an interesting topic that I think only exists in Web3, is you need to determine the level of like decentralization. So when in 672, you actually have the power to determine whether a redeem can take place or not based on the operators. So you can have a like very limited number of the operators, only those that has already written during the deployment of your NFT contracts are allowed to do all these, write all these like redeem transactions into the NFTs. And also you can open up to all. However, limiting the NFT operators does not actually prohibit people by doing external contracts and doing external redeem. It just prohibits them from writing things into the NFT. From my personal belief, I believe that people can do it as open as possible. So I'll definitely root for the open to all and the blacklist, since there eventually may have some, especially when you are linking with real world, they may have some regulation issues. So I'll definitely root for open to all and blacklist manners. But to be honest, that it is really up to you. But there is a catch here is, even if you are allowing people to write different operators to write into your NFTs, you can still filter out them in your dApps. So people can choose whether they want to be filtered or not. And I believe that is probably the best solution for me. So these are some of the ideas and the guidance that we will seek. And now it's time for some of the examples that we can build using ERC-672. So this one is like relatively simple. It's a Web3 commerce. So for Web3 commerce, you get your NFTs that is redeemable into actual physical like products or assets. And this example is a toilet paper, which is like really, but it can actually come from anywhere. It can come from mint events. It can come from secondary marketplaces. It can also come from e-commerce sites, since some of them are actually seeking like integration with these. It can also come directly in your games. You don't have to like, for example, buy a toilet paper. You may like play it in the games and earn it as a reward, or you get some like from like certain like strange people from your metaverses. Yeah, when you have this NFT of toilet paper, which is guaranteed by certain providers, they will ship out toilet papers for you. And what you can do is you can put each status in the forms of the redeem so that it forms a decentralized tracking with immutable records. Of course, the suggestion I would put here is if you are putting address or locations onto the memo, I would suggest you encrypt it so that when users are or the app builders are building it, they can have the users decrypt it and show on their edge rather than governed by centralized servers, so that creates a whole new level of privacy. So it allows people to create a lot of different tracking applications or UIs. It may be in the forms of web, it may be in the forms of app, or it may be in the forms of an IoT device on your refrigerator. It allows people to build all this based on decentralized and immutable records, but at the same time guarantees the privacy of this redeemable NFT. And eventually these NFT will get burned when the whole redemption process is done. So holding this NFT is essentially like holding a virtual toilet paper. This is another example that we are seeing are actually bringing changes to the world. This is, I cross out the ticket and making it into pass, because what we are seeing is it has much more different levels of engagement compared to a ticket. It's not just a one-time entry. Now it becomes a pass that allows users to engage in different scenarios. So in normal use cases, you will see that the ticket becomes invalid after you have entered the venue or something. In this part, it is handled by redeem through the ticketing systems provided by operator A. But for the group of operator Bs, the operator B can serve a lot of providers that may provide refreshments, may provide props, may provide some VIP experiences. They may need to check if you have already redeemed or not. And so the is redeemed function is used there. And once they check it, yeah, they can go on with the redeem and continually process and interact with the existing NFTs. And also after all the event experience happened at the venue, we can also do constant like brand engagements after the whole venue based on the behaviors. So now get the redemptions functions is not really important, because you get the redemptions from what the users has already interact at the event, at the venue. And there's a lot of different like integrations, like shopping, like game passes, like discounts at e-commerce sites. And these are relatively simple by putting the information back into ERC-6072. So this provides a constant re-engagement. For example, Future Y, if you are selling your next concert tickets, the best way to do it is to find the users that engage with your pass the most, and then like quiet this them and sell the tickets to them. Yeah. So these are two examples that we have already like executed, not directly with 6072, but we have tested a lot of mechanisms of 6072 in these showcases. And what we believe that the future like is, well, this is slightly terrifying, but this is what we imagine like the future would be like. It's a constant interactions between the digital world and the real world. So you may have some game platforms, you have an avatar NFT, you have consumables, you have equipments, you have resources. You can redeem, for example, the simplest way is you can redeem for a bread and it connects directly to, for example, some like delivery services, and it calls the redeem, interact with the NFT itself and deliver the things to your doorsteps. So your virtual bread becomes a real bread. Also, if you have an equipment, you can constantly engage on, for example, gatherings, or you can redeem for a actual like figure sword when combined with like manufacturing providers or e-commerce platforms for like special discounts when you like slash the prices for some like certain accessories. And all these can be accumulated into the NFT itself. And if the game permits, it can do like certain upgrades so that the people can see you constantly engage with the equipment, not only in games, but also in real life. And there's also, you can directly have like perks, engagements directly with your avatar to the providers. And the redeem can actually, for example, boost your character's certain, like, for example, if you are redeemed for a cup of coffee, you can boost your stamina also in games, which makes you energized both in games and in real life. And also it has the potential of changing the avatar, airdropping new like consumables. So it creates a constant engagement, re-engagement, interaction, interventions on-chain and off-chain together, and creates a very blurred experience. You cannot distinguish what is in game or what is in real life. And we believe that that is actually the future of commerce in the future world. Yeah, so we've seen, but people would ask, and this is a slightly off topic, but people would ask, how about existing NFTs? Of course, you can always airdrop, or you can upgrade if your NFTs are upgradable. But these two are not that of ideal because a lot of activities have already accumulated on these kind of NFTs. So what we imagine here is there is a third alternative is to manage a well-recognized contract or systems. And this, we believe that should not be handled by a single entity. We need it to be built by the communities. So yeah, follow the QR code. We are looking for people to build and maintain all these with us. And also, if you are interested in other parts of the ERC-6072, we are launching our developer sub-DAO. So definitely come and join us, apply for the grants. We are happy to have you all develop with us. Yeah, so that covers the most parts of what ERC-6072 is capable of, what the thought process is, what is different from a lot of different NFTs. And we are happy to share some of the more thoughts that we did and we have in our past like executions on EIP. And to be frankly, it's a magical and very interesting journey. First of all, we have been debating this since day one. Do we really need a new NFT standard or not? And it has been back and forth, but the results are really great. Because now we have a much more complete, a design that we are much more confident back and forth again. And that's the reason that why we can explain so clearly what is the need of an ERC-6072. But even with that, it's still a very, to be honest, painful process. Because when you are doing it, you need to solve all the problems. But when you are designing the interfaces, you are solving an uncertain future problems. And you need to be very clear of that and think of all the possible cases, which is like really like tedious, painful, but also like interesting at the same time. It's like a lot of contradictions in there. But the reasons we are doing this is we believe that this actually forms a robust fundamental so that we can march forward. And the best part is we make new friends along the way. We are forming an EIP's fund like group. We have a Telegram group and a lot is going to be launched because EIP is a process that we believe that when people like talk to each other, we can have a more clear understanding or clear way of how to process this or how to build this. And also we often discuss on a lot of like different EIPs that are newly launched, what is the purpose, what are the potentials of it. And we believe that this heavily brings everything together. And here's a little timeline. And we are happy that everything gone past and we are ready for our next steps. So yeah, really happy that to be here. And these are some of our thoughts. We are very happy that we are having this process. And for Archie is our CTO, he's very happy because he's able to present these thoughts to the community and invite a lot of builders to constantly build with us. And Jason, our co-founder, he thinks that we only unleashes like perhaps like one in 1,000s of the powers of blockchain, and there's much, much more to be built. And from my side, I think the best part is, yeah, we just go for it because a lot of people may question the necessity of building an open standard or open protocol, but actually the openness and the composability is actually the core beauty of Web3, and we intend to involve a lot of different builders to keep on building with us. So definitely contact us, stay in touch, apply for whatever projects we are having or any grants already. And you can also propose something, find us here. And we are happy to like continuously build with the community. Yeah, so that's my presentation. Yeah, and we invite everyone to build with us.
Awesome. That was a great presentation, quite colorful, vibrant, as I can see the logo of Redreamer. The presentation basically covered a lot of questions that we had in my mind as well. I really loved the concept of intrinsic and extrinsic properties that you mentioned that, you know, implementers should keep in mind while deciding what to include and what not to include. Overall, I think this was a great presentation. I have a few more questions and maybe to add clarity on what we are gathering from here. So if I understand correctly, this proposal, it suggests to make sure the NFT is redeemable multiple times, but does it also bound to an individual, like kind of soul bound, or is it transferable?
Okay. So of that part, this is a frequently asked questions, usually in two steps. Some NFT provides extra control or extra like permission control or interactive controls to the NFT itself. So what this ERC is different is we don't define that parts, but we can combine it together. You can have an ERC-6072, which is at the same time a soulbound token. You just implement a lock on it, which we have also done before, because for example, there are some like ticketing vendors, on the contrary, they don't want royalties, they don't want high frequency resales, they want their tickets to be stick to their buyers. So you can have a redeemable NFTs that is soulbound at the same time. And so this also covers the question list, for example, 5192, the soulbound NFTs, the 2135 consumable interfaces, and the 551, the rental NFTs. These are all control oriented, which can also be integrated together. We have also talked with several protocols that are handling rentals, which they want to preserve some of the redeemable properties during their rental protocols. And so it is combinable. And that is actually the beauty of ERCs. They are usually combinable. And also they are other like NFTs that are aimed to list out the privilege, for example, like 5585, the NFT authorizations, or the 5007 time NFT. They list out the privilege or the characteristics of the NFT, which again, it's still compatible, because what ERC-6070 is not doing, it is not handling the listing of the privilege. It is handling the results of the execution of the redeem. And as for 5007 time NFTs, I also have found another that is very similar. It's called multi-privilege NFT. It's 5496, I believe. It is very similar, except that it has several different privileges and you can set the different like expiration time. And I think that would be a great combination when working with 6072, because you can list out the privilege using that standards and check the results of each privilege being executed or used using 6072. So that covers the whole question here.
To summarize, we can say that the team is trying to provide a Lego piece and the builder can pick up any other Lego pieces to build up their project. Yes.
Exactly.
That's pretty interesting.
The reason we are providing this Lego piece is we see that a lot of people are doing the control parts of the NFT or the privilege listing parts of the NFT, but we don't really see anyone focusing on the execution results and the connection with the real world providers parts. And that's the reason we provide these Lego piece here, so that it forms a complete experience.
Awesome. In the presentation, we looked into quite a different use cases, some of were like IoT integration, retail, and displays and that. If you would like to maybe pick any of those and give an example, by any chance, if you are aware of any project who may be implementing this proposal for any of these listed features, that would be great to have.
Okay, so the thing is, we are actually cooperating with a lot of existing providers. They are not directly implementing 6072 before, because we are just summarizing the standard just by now, but they have already integrated with different aspects of 6072. That's the first part. And in the future, because we are also building our services and our operators as well, in the future, you might not need to explicitly select 6072, because it will be supported by major platforms. For example, if you're launching an e-commerce platform that is supported by NFTs, the platform may already choose 6072 to be its underlying NFT standard. So for a lot of project builders, you only need to select the solutions, which I, in the practice guideline, I suggest a lot of builders to use existing solutions, because that makes you much more easy to follow existing standards and build on top of the things that has been tested over and over again. So we are very confident that in the next few months, a lot of people will integrate 6072 into their digital platforms, businesses, or a pure Web3 business trying to step into Web2, or a Web2 business that is trying to do something in Web3.
Awesome. That's great to know. I have one question that is related to the key consideration and guidelines that you have shared. For users, yeah. It is really important to learn important aspects of the standard. So while implementation, they keep considering them. Do you think there are any security consideration that an implementer may be able to keep in mind while implementing this?
The first list part, I believe that is mentioned in our standard description, is that because what we do here is adding a extra layer of encryption, it usually does not generate extra security concerns. However, there are some basic implementations when you are doing smart contracts that you need to be extra care of. For example, you should separate logic as possible and don't, because it would be quite convenient to do so if you directly combine the redeem or the cancel direct with the NFT approval process, which we suggest is try and make it as separately as possible and only combine them if you are totally clear of what you're doing. Because if you are doing transfer actions when you are implementing 6672 inside of redeem and setting approvals, it may be vulnerable to other, for example, re-entry attack or something. So the basic rule is follow the standards of the development implementation process of Solidity, and most of the time you should be fine, because 6672 does not involve that much. It just adds an extra inscription on the NFT itself.
That means while designing it, this layer will not be creating any security concern. However, if you are trying to add other proposals, other standards to complete your project, you should also consider their security consideration.
Yes. But I believe that most standards, at least most of the standards I read for, they are very concerned on this part, and usually they have great separation. So follow the guidelines of all the standards that you are using and it should be fine.
Very well said. And my next set of questions is about following guidelines. I know this proposal went into final status yesterday, and you and the rest of the team definitely have followed the guidelines for documenting a proposal. I would be curious to hear your journey throughout the documentation process, and if you may have any suggestion for us for improvement and things that make authors' life easier.
This is some part that we are very satisfied. So to be really honest, we are, of course, the first time we are slightly frightened because we have never done this before. And we have debates on whether we should go through it or not. But again, as far as I just said, just go for it. And the reasons that we are forming communities is to ease the process. So I believe that this should not be directly done by changing the procedure itself. The procedure we've seen from now, from Archie, from Randy, our PM, are actually giving us feedbacks that this process is actually a very thorough and robust process, including all these auto checks and stuff. And it's a great way to sit down and clarify your thoughts so that you don't write a standard which does not provide anything. So I think that it is actually really helpful. For the process to become smoother, I believe that it is actually the job of different community or community groups. And that's the reason we are forming a forums like EIP's Fund, or perhaps there are many more groups out there, which I believe that developers should join. And at the same time, I can promote again, apply for developing with us. And you can we can share our experience, and we can together discuss what can be overcome and what needs to be noticed or to be extra care of during this journey. Yeah. So
we had a chat with the team EIPS.fun, and I'm sure we are trying to explore ways to have EIP's related information more public so people know about it and make good use of that.
Yes.
That said, I'd be curious to hear about some of the supporting programs that cat herders are running alongside this PEEP and EEP and the EIPS editing office hour. Do you think these programs are helpful to users and authors trying to be here and make contribution?
Yeah, because during the process, we are actually getting like clear feedbacks. And of course, the reasons that we are not facing a lot of problems is because we are actually quite clear on what we are doing. And we do have a tested purpose on this part. So I believe that being sincere is really helpful. And we are, since we are providing sincere information, we are getting sincere feedbacks from the editors, and it has been really helpful. And also I really like the way of managing all this through GitHub, which makes it really trackable. And although it's a little bit developer oriented, but it's not that hard to understand it, so it's explainable. Yeah, so I'm really happy with the current process. I just want to hear more of different discussions all over the places, but I believe that this is not something that we can force it to happen, but what we can encourage people to speak up and think more and discuss more on all the EIPs out there, because each EIP represents some problems that somebody thinks that needs to be solved with the help of all people. And I think we should be much more active on these parts. Yeah.
Very well said. Yeah, I think we are also trying to make some effort in that direction. From today, we are starting a new call, which is going to be called as All ERC Dev Call, where mm-hmm. we are inviting all ERC authors, all ERC developers to maybe come share their proposal and, learn something from someone else's proposal that may be solving problem that you were trying to solve in your project. So that's an effort in that direction. Hopefully that helps, as you mentioned, that we need to discuss these things on more forums.
And we do learn a lot from past ERCs. We read their their descriptions, and we read a lot of their motivations, so that we can get a hint of what is actually the best way to cooperate or co-work with the rest of the community. And I believe that this is something that can constantly accumulate and gather into something that is really irreplaceable and malleable.
Awesome. Well, it's a time to wrap up. Would you like to share any thoughts, final thoughts with the community?
I think it's mostly the same, that I really agree with this process of being open to the community and being sincere, and there's nothing to be afraid of. Things will eventually get done with the help of the community, and we only unleash a very, very small portion of the blockchain technology. And this is because blockchain technology is inherited from open source, which is also a community-driven, spirit. So I think that people should actively engage with a lot of different people. And I also expected to see a lot of things happening here also at Con. And a final shout out is join us, build with us, or build with any other communities, because I think that's how everything improves.
Definitely, yes. This is a community-driven technology, so be a part of the community. Very well said, Boyu. We really appreciate you and team taking out time to provide an overview of ERC 6672 multi-redeemable NFTs. And we congratulate you for coming this proposal into final status today. Thank you for adding another NFT standard for Ethereum repository.
Thank you. And I really like all the questions. It do clarifies a lot of things. And I'm happy to have this recording with you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. You. On this note, thanks to all our YouTube viewers for watching and podcast subscriber for listening to this NFT special episode. Should you have any question on this or any other EIP, let us know at EPCatHerders Discord. Next week, we'll be back with another interesting talk. Till then, keep watching, listening, and sharing your love with Ethereum Cat Herders. Cheers.